Well, I actually had two messages. Some of you that have talked to me have known that. I've been wrestling with two throughout the duration of last night and today. And honestly, you know, this one here, it's not your typical, if you will, conference-y type message. It's not one that normally you would bring to others, and that'll make sense as I get started here. The other one that I was going to preach was actually very similar to Brother Duke's closing comments, and the title of that message was Looking for the Wow Factor, and really he kind of summarized that at the end of the services right before lunch, and we've been emphasizing, right, as I did on Friday night and as our other brethren have preached, is just the simplicity of the gospel and the clarity of God's word. And then Brother Duke began to say that we, you know, again, really we get so accustomed. We want to look for all of these things to wow us and to excite us and all of these other things. And so that was actually one of the messages. And so Brother Duke spoke on that very well. And so that gave me just extra peace upon this message. And I trust it'll be a blessing to God's people today. I invite your attention over to the book of Proverbs, chapter 31, if you're able. I would ask that you stand as I read God's word. This is Proverbs, chapter 31, and I'll begin in the 10th verse and read down through the end of the chapter. Proverbs, chapter 31, and beginning in verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband, I'll safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hand. She planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold on the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself covering of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. And may we again look to our Lord in a word of prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your love to us, your mercy, your grace, and your watch care over us. We thank thee, our Lord, for this wonderful time that you've given us, for all of the labor of love that has been shown to us here by Olmsted Baptist Church and Brother Duke and his wife and just all of the members. We thank you, our Father, for allowing us to be a part. And Lord, we ask that you would continue to lead us now and guide us in the ways that are right and pleasing in thy sight. And as our brothers have prayed, Lord, we ask if there are any here today that are lost, that are undone and know you not as Savior, that this would be the day of salvation, that they come to know you in the full pardon and forgiveness of sin. And I ask, Lord, that you be with me this afternoon as thy servant, and may you give me liberty and ability to present thy word in truth and in love. And I ask, Father, that you forgive us of our sins, and these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Okay. Thank you, brother. So, you know, again, Brother Joe, I'm just going to say this. We went from enthusiastic encouragement to one another, right? And then I had a three-word title last night. And tonight's, or this afternoon's title, one word. You're welcome. I know. Priceless. That's the title of the message this afternoon. Priceless. It is good for us, I believe, and I don't know that it is done often enough. I tend to think about mothers and moms and my wife around, well, Mother's Day. We know ultimately it is the Lord's Day, and that day is coming in a couple of weeks. But often enough, we don't often enough pause and give thanks. And really, certainly, I speak for myself and my own ministry to give thanks to God for the wonderful mothers and wives that He has given us. To then encourage those that have been, you know, again, the ladies in our lives, the ladies of this church, the ladies of other churches represented here. And then the young ladies that are in this assembly, to give them some Bible and to help them to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and to know that their value is far above rubies. Listen, I think it's important. I think it is good. And again, as I said, this last time I'll say it, I don't want to berate this point. I know it's not a common, you don't commonly come in with a message like this, but I just couldn't leave this. The Lord wouldn't allow me to not have peace to preach this one. And so, again, I contemplated and I went back and forth whether or not I should give a message devoted to moms and wives and women in general. But I'll tell you, I think it is good to lift up godly women. And I think that it is good for them to hear and be encouraged as well in the Word of God. And I know that as we preach, that all they're designed for all of God's people. But we do tend, well, all right. As I said, I know, you know, what the world calls Mother's Day is coming up. I tell you, it's not enough. Mother's Month wouldn't be enough. But you brethren already know we can't even handle a day. So forget handling a month. It's just not, it's not in our DNA. We can't do it. We wouldn't make it that long. But again, why not take some time and highlight different aspects of what it is to be a woman created by God. And so to be, as my title states, priceless. In Proverbs 31:10, again, it says, "Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies." Priceless, far above rubies. So many elements to being a precious, godly woman. And again, we can't even begin to talk about them even in one sermon. But let me tell you, I am so thankful for the wonderful wife and mother of our precious children. I would not be the man that I am today if it wasn't for the wonderful wife that I have. God, certainly I wouldn't be the man I am today if God had not saved me, but He brought Heather to me. And we have been married now for 20 years in April. Yeah, it's been awesome. And I thank the Lord for... And I thank the Lord for a mother's heart. I thank the Lord for your loving your children the way that you do, the way you pray for your children, the way that you share the gospel message with your children, the way that you teach your children, and the way you feed them and change them and finding all of our lost things. All of them. We think we know where they are. You move them. It's okay. It's okay. There's no confessional up here. I'm not going to make you come say it. No, you really don't. We just don't know where we put things. I get it. And so for all of our wives and all the ladies in here, all the many different hats that you wear throughout the day, and for knowing that your children are a blessing, knowing that your children are a blessing and carrying them and raising them and doing all those things, your children are a blessing and not a curse from the Lord, I thank the Lord for you. I'm thankful for the women at Grace Baptist Church, and I'm thankful for the women here, and thankful for all the wives and the women that are represented here today. And for all of us brethren, I want to remind you of something real quick. Every one of us here today is here because of our mom.
Amen.
It's just the way it is. That's natural, biological way it is.
Amen.
And if you haven't called your mom in a while, call her and tell her you love her. Honestly. Really. And there's some here now that I'm sure you're here. Even as I've said that, and now you're missing your mom. Some of your moms have gone to be with the Lord, and maybe some of your moms live out of state. But take some time and thank and hug your mom. Give him a call. So to all of you ladies, I truly thank the Lord for you and the work that He has called you to. As I said, we men would not be the same without you. So let's talk about this. In the first part of my message, I want to cover that again, you are priceless. And then secondly, I will cover God's design for moms. So speaking to all ladies that are here today, and then a reminder for all of the men that are here today on how we are to treat our ladies. And how a man is to treat a woman is taught to us in the Word of God. And so it is a good reminder for all of us men as well. You are priceless. I read to you again in Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 10. It says, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? Now, I want to begin here today. I want to begin here because it is so important. I want to begin here because it is vital. Listen to me, ladies. Listen very carefully. The Word of God says that your price is far above rubies. And again, I'm just putting the word on there, priceless. Your value is far above rubies, as the Scripture says. Do not ever forget that you and I, that, well, no, I'm not a female, but you, along with all of us, all humans, have been created in the image of Almighty God. You are what you are by God's blessed design. You are to be cherished, honored, and loved. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, listen to these beautiful verses. In the book of Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, and the word of the Lord says this, and the Lord God said, it is not good for the man that, or excuse me, let me just start over. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him. In verse 20, and Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. Verse 23. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Listen carefully here. Again, men, we need to thank God for the women in our lives. And I am sick and tired of seeing men today treat their wives as second-rate citizens. I am sick and tired. And it's not just lost men. Right. It's not. I wish I could stand behind this pulpit and tell you that I don't know of people that are abusive mentally or physically or even verbally to their wives. Listen, I have no tolerance for that. For a man that just has to feel like he has to throw around his weight because he's a man. Now, he is to be the leader of the home. There is a difference in being a godly leader and one that has to throw around his weight because he's a man. Amen. Ladies, I want you to remember and I want you to know that your price is far above rubies. And you don't need to be disrespected, trodden upon from some man. And men, you need to remember you are to lead your home as Christ loved the church. Amen. And gave himself for it. I really get fired up about that. It blesses me when my children say that they have never heard Heather and I fight. Never heard us fight. Do we have disagreements? Yeah. We are human. It does happen. Look who she's married to. It's a lot. Okay. They have heard their friends' parents fighting. And you and I, listen to me, as I said, it's not just lost worldly people. You've walked into homes and it's uncomfortable. Because something in the home has happened. And the man gets really bent out of shape very quickly. Shame. That's not godly leadership. It's not. The Bible says, and God said it is not good for the man that, and the Lord God said it is not good that man should be alone. God in his wisdom said this. He didn't give us, you know, another man. No, he gave us a woman. I will make an helpmeet for him, a suitable companion. The Bible describes what the relationship is to be here. And again, as these men have to throw around their weight, all it shows to me is that you're not really a godly man yourself. Because that is not how the Bible describes the relationship. You see, we are created, both of us created, and God has given us different roles. And as I said, I have no use for a man that thinks that he is better than a woman or that he can abuse a woman physically or mentally, or verbally or whatever it may be. Now, I want to say this as we go on, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment, but there are great women, amen, and there are great women of the Bible, and in fact, they are helpmeets to their husbands, content with the God-given role that God has given unto them to be helpmeets, not trying to take over for their husbands. And that's hard because husbands have become very passive. And it's much easier to not make a decision. But that's not the role that our wives were created for. We are to lead the home. And we have become so passive that is we don't take that leadership. Now let me tell you, of course, I'm so thankful, as I said, 20 years, God has given me an amazing wife with amazing wisdom and wonderful things, and there's things that I'm going to do. Listen, again, it's me, and there are dumb things that I want to do sometimes, and so there has been times in our lives that we are a little financially tighter than we are now, and so I thought a good thing to do for our family would be to buy a big V8 conversion van. Gas saver. I mean, it makes sense. And so I see this conversion van. I mean, our church loves this story. It was like when I first started pastoring there, right? They love this story. And so I see this big, beautiful conversion van, VA conversion van. I'm telling you, captain seats everywhere. You know, it's nice. It's big. It's good. And so, you know, I mean, ultimately, if I would have made the decision to buy this van, I mean, we would have bought the van. And so we get in the van and my eyes are all, you know, starry and I'm just looking at it. It's looking good. And I sit in the chair and the armrest isn't working and stuff like that. And I'm still like, it's okay. It's good. And Heather's like, okay, honey, does it really, you know, I mean, but God gave her wisdom. I didn't buy that van. I bought like 6 cars since then, but I didn't buy that van. And Heather and I talk through things and pray about things. Amen. And God gives to her amazing and wonderful wisdom. But at the end of the day, what Heather says to me and what Heather says and what she teaches our children as she has homeschooled all of our children, your daddy will make the right decision. And even if I didn't make the right decision to them, it is a decision that she supports and stands behind me on. Her price is far above rubies. She is a comparable companion. And that's what a helpmeet is, a comparable companion. But what, again, many men try to do is to make their wives something that they are not. And then the word priceless is defined as having, again, a value beyond any price. Let me give you some quick examples from the Word of God. To all of the ladies in here this afternoon, showing you that you're worth more than abuse and mistreatment and yelling and screaming and being used. You are priceless. And in order for me to illustrate that to you this afternoon, I want to bring you over to the book of Esther. First of all, and before I talk about Esther, I want you to see the actions of Queen Vashti. And so we're going to talk about Queen Vashti for just a few moments as I illustrate that you are priceless. And so you can be turning over to the book of Esther. And we're going to go to Esther chapter 1. And I'm going to read verses 8 through 12. Esther chapter 1. And beginning in verse 8. And the drinking was according to the law. And this is Esther 1 verse 8. None did compel. For so the king had appointed to all the officers of his house that they should do according to every man's pleasure. And Vashti the queen made a feast for the women in the royal house which belonged to King Ahasuerus. On the 7th day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Merihem, Bestha, Habnoah, Bigtha, and Agbathiah, Zethiar, and Carcass, the 7 chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king, to bring Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royal to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look upon. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned within him. You see, ladies, again, I want to remind you that you are priceless. I want you to understand again the actions of Queen Vashti here. I want to give you, of course, a little context. She was the queen, as we clearly read in Esther chapter 1. She was the queen, and in those days, you absolutely did as the king asked. Whether you were queen, whether you were a servant, it didn't matter. If the king said something, you did it. She she was fulfilling her duties as queen, as we saw there. She made a feast for the woman in the royal house, and she was seemingly doing a very good job. Now, her husband and those that were around the king had been drinking. And I believe that they had been drinking to the point of drunkenness. They had been drinking for quite a while. And it is awesome, the stand that we see here of Queen Vashti in the book of Esther. And this is what I want to teach to all of the women that are in here today, that this is a message that we ought to scream loud and clear as I talk about, that your price is far above rubies. You see, her decision not to go before her drunk king husband absolutely could have cost her her life. You need to understand that. But hear me now, ladies. No man is worth selling your dignity and self-worth for. No man. You are priceless. This king wanted to show off his wife in a way that was not honoring and pleasing to the Lord. Plain and simple. That's exactly what he wanted to do. And so, yes, as I said, ladies, we are, you know, you're to obey your husbands as unto the Lord. And when your husband asks you to do something that is contrary to the word of God, you have every right to stop and say no. And a man that asks you to essentially show off your body to him before you're married and then to others is not according to the word of God. Amen. Keep yourselves covered, ladies. Amen. And any man that wants you to do anything more, and I could really get serious here. I have a daughter and a courting relationship and all kinds of things, right? It is not worth it. You are priceless. Amen. Gentlemen, if you are a true godly gentleman, never ask the lady you are with to do anything outside of that marital blessed relationship that God has put together when you're married before you're married.
Amen.
Ladies, it's not worth Queen Vashti was willing to risk her life to not sell out. Ladies, you are priceless. You are priceless. Again, young ladies, I would say to you, and well, to all, never subject yourself to a man, no matter how rich and how powerful he seems to be, to make you do things that you know are scripturally sinful. Keep yourself covered. Keep yourself modest. No man is worthy of your purity to be shown except your husband and him alone. That's God's design. Now, much more can be said about Vashti, but I'm thankful that we have this example of her saying no. Now, as we fast forward, everything got blown out of proportion and Vashti had to leave. And decrees were made so that women would not do the same to their husbands as Vashti did. But let me fast forward. Now, as I'm talking about how you are priceless, let's talk about Esther for a little bit. Fast forward again, it was time for the king to have a new queen, and women from all over the kingdom came to the palace and went through weeks of purifying and cleansing. And that's Esther chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. And in Esther 2, 12 through 17, you read about Esther and all the maidens going through all of the different purifications and the cleansings and everything that they did. All of this was in an attempt to very much please the king so that they would be chosen to be the queen. Now, I'm going to cover a little bit more about this for you ladies here in just a moment. But listen to me, you don't have to deck yourself with jewelry to be counted worthy for a man. In fact, quite the contrary is taught in God's word, is it not, in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let me read to you 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, the word of the Lord says this, "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. But which becometh women professing godliness with good works." That's what it says. "That women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array." And I know, again, I've married for 20 years. I have two daughters, and I know, you know, they have to kick me out of the bathroom sometimes because I know that they want to, you know, do things to go out in public. "Dad, you're still in there?" "Yeah, it's me in there." Okay. And I get some of that. But again, you do not have to deck yourself with jewelry to be counted worthy for a man. And so when Esther's turn came, it was interesting that she did not demand any ornaments or extra clothes. She took what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, gave her. And they all loved Esther because this proves she was not greedy or demanding. And so here we see the elegance of the soon-to-be Queen Esther. Esther did not know that she would be chosen. Esther did not know everything that God had in store for her. Esther did not know that she would be used of God to save His people. But the beautiful quality about Esther is that even not knowing all of those things, she did not decorate herself with lots of jewels and special clothing. That was jewelry that back in, again here in Esther, that was designed to attract and all that other stuff. And they went and they spent that night with the king and put on lots of extra things. Esther was content to go without all that extra stuff. I think that's awesome. Young ladies, you are not to be the aggressor towards the male. You do not need all of that stuff to show your worth or your value. Ladies, your price is far above rubies. And gentlemen, we need to remember how wonderful and precious and special the women in our lives really are. And we must treat our wives, our women, as women whose worth is far above rubies. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 22. Chivalry is not dead, gentlemen. You, guilty as charged. I mean, if it's raining in the parking lot, I tend to sprint away from those that are behind me because I obviously don't want to get wet. Okay, good. Really, I should be there like, you know, sheltering my wife. I'm just trying to get out of the rain. And I use my glasses as my excuse, though. Like, I don't like spotted glasses, but we know that it's okay. Focus. Proverbs chapter 18. You're still with me. That's good. That's good. I'm in Deuteronomy, so that's nowhere close to Proverbs. It's because I was telling a story by myself. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 22 is what I wanted to read about the ladies here. And so I'm almost there. You're almost back there with me. That's good. "Whoso findeth the wife, findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor in the Lord." Amen. It's a beautiful thing. All right. So I've wanted to preach that. And the second part of this message is going to be to God's design for mothers and reminding us, gentlemen, about this God's design for mothers, reminding the ladies here today and hopefully lifting you up a little bit, hopefully encouraging you a little bit. I know it's not as high strung as last night's message. And had I probably preached, you know, the wow factor, there would have been a little bit more movement and all of that kind of stuff. But again, I trust this message is the appropriate one that the Lord had for us today. God's design for mothers is the second part of the message. God's design, it's for men and women to come together, get married, and have children. And that's always been God's design, as we can see right from creation. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 25, and no matter what modern, quote-unquote, science tries to tell us, a man is a man and a woman is a woman. There's different parts, and that's it. Different plumbing. I don't know that I need to say much more than that. And in order for a supposed person to change their identity or identify as somebody else, they have to change the plumbing. I mean, and they can't even do that completely. And it has always been God's design, as we can see right from the creation in Genesis chapter 2. I'll try to stick to the notes. And it's really, again, as I already read to you, verses 18 through 25. This is God's design. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make and help meet for him. And God did. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to the beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. Now listen. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his rib. He didn't take it from the head. He didn't take it from the foot. He took it from the middle, from his side. You understand that, right? So we're not higher. We're not, and our women are not lower. They are comparable companions. And that is important here. From the rib. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of a man. God made male and female. Amen. And he brought them together. And God has a blessed design for mothers. And I know that there are mothers that pray and have not been able to conceive. And so I know that there is some of that. But I want to speak to just, you know, in general for a few moments, because to me it's sad nowadays to see how many women are more concerned with their careers than with following God's design and being women, being willing to stay home and raise their precious, beautiful children. Amen. I want to tell you, I'm not normally an emotional. Oh, yeah, I am. Okay, what am I saying? My wife has cherished the moments that she has had home with our children. And did they cry? I mean, do they still cry? Yes. She has thanked me so many times for the work that I do that she has been able to stay home and raise our children. She has never been jealous. She has never, you know, felt bad if I went and did something else or taken some extra special time with the kids, because she values all of the time that she has had with them in raising them. It's awesome. I know I've said it once, but I'm going to say it again. Thank you, moms. You are truly amazing. You truly are. And as I said at the introduction, I want to remind you of this. I want to remind us all, there's no other way to be born. We are born out of our mother's womb. We are alive for around 9 months growing in the womb. That's how things grow. They're alive, right? I mean, you can look at a plant. And if a plant's not alive, it's not what? Growing. And scientists are like, yes, right. Baby in a womb is growing. Amen. So we are alive for about 9 months in our mother's womb. She carried us with them, and many moms changing their diets, eating special foods, taking special vitamins, protecting us from the harmful world while we grew in her womb. What a special bond. What a special bond. And how awesome it is. Life is to be celebrated. Amen. Life is to be celebrated. The Bible teaches that human life is different from all other types of life because human beings are made in the very image of God. It's such a beautiful thing. I love creation. I love preaching about creation. I love talking about creation. And I love life. I love life. I love human life. To be celebrated from the womb to the tomb. God is good. Life is good. In Genesis 1, in verse 26, again says here, well, not again, I haven't read it yet. In Genesis 1, in verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. In verse 31, and God saw everything that he made, he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Life is very good. The word create is used three times here, emphasizing a special crowning moment in the whole process of God creating the entire world and everything in it. The image of God. That is what it is. It means to be human. As we reflect an eternal God who knew us from before we were made and purposely called us into beginning. You know some of these, I'm sure. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. I'll just read it quickly. It says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." God knows every human life. Life! And He created us different. It's so beautiful. It's so awesome. I got to turn to Psalm 139 and I appreciate your attention this afternoon. I know it's been long. I say it's been long. I'm about 35, 40 minutes and not even in that yet. So, I mean, that's about how long I'll go. Psalm 139, verses 14 and 15, it says, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." You know what's amazing? You know what I love to see on many billboards? You know, there's so many perversions to God's word. But this verse I see most often intact is the KJV. I just think that's so cool. "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." We are wonderfully made. That's who we are. So I want to say that to say that we are formed by God, we are designed by God, and we are all created by God. Let me say that again. We are formed by God, we are designed by God, and we are all created by God. And that confirms the teaching of Luke chapter 1, verses 41 through 44. You know what? The babe did what there? Leaped. Where? In the womb. That baby's alive. Alive. Praise God, that baby is alive. So God's design is beautiful and special. God designed that right from the beginning. A mother has a special bond with his or child, and it is beautiful. Now, with that in mind, what a blessing it is to have mothers that raise our children. What a blessing that is. Again, the time that they spend. And again, that's not an excuse for husbands and fathers to become lethargic and apathetic. And there's been series and periods in my life where I know that I've been there, and every once in a while it's time to wake back up. Hello, we're still here, need help. I like to think that I changed hundreds of diapers. But what are you laughing at? You don't remember. You don't know. You're just here for mom. Mom thinks it's like 10. I think I'm at like 200. Brother Dodd's probably thinking the same thing, right, brother? I mean, easy 200, right? Which means we're probably both closer to 5. Yeah. See, he's more humble than I am. But can you take that from a guy that doesn't even like to hike? He's in the hills of Kentucky and doesn't like to hike. What is that? I don't understand. You're smart. I love hiking. All right, I'm back. So that time to raise our children, what a blessing. What a beautiful thing that is. And let me tell you, ladies, keep on. I know it's hard. I know it's hard because, you know, I've witnessed it and I've seen it. And I was really good at this. I'm going to tell you how good I was. I was really good because I know that Heather needed time sometimes away from the children after she has nursed them and bathed them and done all of those wonderful things. And she just needed a little time to herself, and she would need and go and want to take a shower. And I know I did so good because while she was in there, I would walk with the crying baby near the shower. Because it was my turn. And so I was walking to bed. I know I was doing a good job. Listen, gentlemen, that's not the right thing to do. Because they know the baby is crying and they're thinking, you can man up for like 20 minutes. They're not even taking a lot more time. But, you know, that's what I did. I mean, I still carry them. No, I'm just kidding. All right. They need a little time to unwind. They need a little time. Ladies, may I encourage you? And may I tell you, you do not need to feel guilty when you need a little time, when you need a break. You don't need to feel guilty if you just need a few minutes or hours or whatever it may be. And husbands, we need to understand that our wives need a break. And again, it doesn't just mean that 20 minutes when you're watching the children and walking the crying one in front of the bathroom door, right? Moms, take your break. Dads, take your children. I got better as I got older. Obviously, they're easier to take care of. Good. You guys are with me. That's good. I know. It's getting long. We're getting there. All right? Don't feel guilty about taking the break. Get your recharge. Do what you need to do as you're remembering that great work that God has called you to, that your children are a great blessing. It allowed you the privilege of raising your children. Now, gentlemen, I'm going to do something here. I've done this with the church back home, and then I'll begin to bring it to a close. So I'm me, and I just got to do this. And so, you know, again, there is not a mom in here that would come to me or come to you and tell you, of course, they're not doing it for the money. They do it because it is a blessing to stay home and raise their children, to love them, to serve them in the home. But just for fun, let me share with you a clip that I read by Steve Nelms about how much our wives' services would be if they were paid for hire. Because, you know, gentlemen, it's so neat. I run out of deodorant and it shows up. It's pretty cool, right? I run out of vitamins, like I know that it's about to happen, and then I'm out, and then it's like, honey, and then they come, right? I hear the laughter. That's good, right? I'm good. I'm not the only one. Okay, so this salary, by the way, was not taken after government's inflation of the last 3 years, and so it could be higher, but because I'm not a mathematician, I got to go with the numbers that I already have written down. Otherwise, there's no way I'm going to make it through by trying to do the math myself. So, for those of us gentlemen that have been blessed that our wives have stayed home and raised our children, a full-time nanny is approximately, and again, these numbers are about 5 years old, $705. That's $36,660 a year. Now, a regular cleaning service costs anywhere between $50 to $100 per visit, depending on how big your space is, how deep of a cleaning you want. That adds up to a whopping $5,200. Now, that's excluding all the extra vomit and all the extra things that the kids happen to do throughout. That's just regular cleaning, okay? That does not include the quick pickup for hosting company. And if you know anything about me, I just want people around me all the time. Like, come on, bring them over, you know, and yay, cool. Thanks for that warning. And so that $5,200 doesn't even count that. I told you my wife runs errands for me. She buys the groceries. She's picked up many things for me. And so personal shoppers on average run about $65 an hour. And that's excluding the couple $1,000 membership fee required to utilize a personal shopper service. Now, again, ladies, I'm not asking, hopefully you're not feverishly writing this all down because, again, Heather's never asked for any of this. I'm just setting some perspective. Okay, that's all I'm doing here. And I'm setting the perspective because, gentlemen, sometimes we need to remember that if our wives ask for a little something, if we have the ability, we ought to give. And we ought to do. All right. So those numbers are at a conservative $13,520 a year. Now, does your wife ever cook dinner? Does she prepare lunch? Does she prepare lunch beforehand for you to take with you to work? So a personal chef preparing two to servings of five meals can run you about $400 and up. So assuming that your stay-at-home wife prepares even a few meals a week, you're looking at around $240 at least per week. And that's about $12,480 a year. Now, again, that's excluding any hosting, any extra mouths to feed, any extra meals to cook, or any extra sides and entrees for church meals and parties. So far, we're looking at a grand total of $67,860. All right. Now, remember, I'm working with extremely conservative numbers, and I'm working with numbers from about 4 years ago. So that's daily care for your child. Daily care for your child. And that average full-time nanny would provide. That's twice a week cleaning of your home by a maid service. And getting the place presentable. That's three meals prepared a week and all of only two servings. And these numbers, for the most part, still fall embarrassing short of all the things that are actually accomplished each and every week. And that's only taking into account three services. If your wife helps out by taking care of budgeting, finances, and paying the bills, and add on another $15 an hour for the average rate of financial assistant, again, I'm sure it's much higher. If you're in the corporate world and your wife plays any kind of role in professional interactions at business dinners, then add on $75 an hour for the average rate of a PR assistant. Even on the way here, I had Heather had to open up my laptop and we had to take care of a couple things. So we Wi-Fi'd in and she was taking care of some things for me as we were driving even to this meeting. Okay. If your wife does the majority of the laundry, then you need to at least add a fee of $25 a week for the bare minimum washer and dryer personal service. Now, let's average 5 hours a week on financial services, 4 hours per business dinner, about three a year, and a weekly laundry service. Adding to that very conservative estimate for child care, house cleaning, and shopping, that's an annual salary of $73,960. Now, looking objectively at almost and sickly that conservative average of service and surrender, I cannot afford my wife. And let's remember, there's no sick leave with the children, there's no pay time off, and there's no 401k. All the incentives that someone makes that is earning over $70,000 a year would normally enjoy. Okay? You ready? My wife homeschooled all three of our children. Three different grades. So if I were to pay for her just one salary, teaching salary, it'd be, and again, these numbers are low, $42,000 a year. Now, I get it. Our wives do all of this without complaint, without asking for many things. But brethren, let's be mindful the next time our wives want a little something. Let's be mindful. For my household, conservatively, it'd be $115,000 a year. Conservatively. Again, I was in tears when I told you how thankful my wife is to be able to have been home and be home. That in itself is precious. And the godly women in here, I know you all know that. Okay, but I wanted to just do that. I did that a little while ago, and it got some of that reaction. I did it for that reason. We don't always have the ability, brethren. I know that. It's not always within our means, right? But when it is, try to give that little something extra special for all of the work that she does. And let me tell you something else. Little advice. Thoughts really do count. The thoughtfulness behind the gesture. You don't have to spend money. It's not about the money, but the thought. Our wives love to know that we're thinking about them. Don't stop getting to know your wife after you're married.
Amen.
Keep studying and learning and talking, enjoying company and presence with your wife. I love being with my wife. I love that we get to go to so many places together. Keep getting to know your wives. Now, there's a lot more that could be said. I didn't even get into the prayers of a godly woman or mother. I thank you, ladies, for all of the praying that you do. The wonderful meals Brother Jim already made reference to. Same when we host a small meeting. I couldn't do all that. And us men, we don't even try. Right? Thank you for everything that you do. All the prayer, all the love, all the devotion that you show. Your price is far above rubies. May God use His word and add a blessing to it.